Take it home, Mr. Chair.
Maybe not.
Well, should I turn it on?
Really?
June 10th, 1999, edition of the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee, and we will convene the work session on House Bill 2391 relating to Public Safety Memorial Fund. Staff report.
Yes, Chair.
We are going to go extremely rapidly and be extremely abrupt, because the House is in session. We could get a call anytime. We could be up and down getting our aerobic exercises. So as you see us skimming over words, please understand why. Please continue.
Thanks, members. As you recall, this bill was enforced once before. It creates a public safety memorial fund. In its prior state, it would have required a $2 increase in unitary assessments. Amendments to the bill contained in the -A5 would change that to a $1 unitary increase to generate approximately $569,000, of which most of that, $500,000 of that, per biennium will be dedicated to the payment of award benefits to families, to public safety officers. The -5 and -6 amendments are before you today for your consideration. The primary impact of the -5 is to change it from $2 to $1 and to provide the expenditure authority necessary for the Department of Public Safety Standards and Training to extend the funds to implement the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I move the -85 amendment to House Bill 2391.
Hold on just a second.
You move the A5?
Any objection? Or any discussion, I guess I should say. Any objection? Okay, the A5s are accepted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Vanek.
I move the A6.
Any discussion? Any objection? A6 amendments are accepted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Patrick.
Chairman, I move the House Bill 2391 as amended by this committee to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Could Mr. Manning amend your amendment?
May I suggest that you include that we also include the budget amendment that we concur with,
including the budget amendment that has been proposed.
Representative Patridge moves House Bill 2391. As amended by the A5 and A6 amendments, including the budget note regarding the invitation of Robert Dent to the first Memorial Fund Board meeting for consulting services. Any objections? Seeing none?
Okay. I need to declare a conflict.
Okay.
I'm married to a public safety officer.
Anyone else married to a public safety officer? No. Okay. Any discussion? Representative Minnis declares a potential conflict of interest. Any discussion, no? Any objections? Seeing none? So moved.
I need a motion to move to the full committee with a due pass.
Mr. Chairman, now, since the courtesy vote is indicated, to get it to the full committee, my concern is if we start building monuments based upon unitary assessment, I support the monument and the recognition and sacrifices of these individuals, but to put it on a charge and have that person specifically pay for it when law enforcement pertains to all of it, it's just not unique to the criminal, it's the law-abiding citizen as well. And I think it's a responsibility that we should all share in, just not a few. And made my statement, and I'll oppose it later on down the road, but as a courtesy to you and the committee to move it out, I'll make a motion to move it as amended.
Diane, I appreciate that. I want to make clarification, or at least ask you a question.
Are you under the impression this is a monument?
You touch it, feel it, see it, monument?
A memorial. A memorial.
Yeah, this is anything but a touch it, see it.
What kind of memorial are you talking
about? Memorial board fund. What this does is provide benefits, monetary benefits, to officers to give their lives in the line of duty.
Oh, well, we're rushing through here. I look at the word memorial. I could build a memorial to those killed by drunk drivers. I could make a memorial built to a lot of people. These are the victims of crime.
This is anything.
Where do we stop and draw the line? And I was just reading real quick. It says Public Safety Memorial Fund.
Correct.
Memorial to me is an edifice to recognize the contribution of somebody.
This recognizes the contribution of those public safety officers that have given their lives in line of duty or volunteering in an activity that they would be professionally engaged in by creating a financial safety net underneath those families of the officers and spouses that gave their lives.
That makes a little difference. I would rather support it.
I thought you made particularly
it would be helpful if somebody didn't try to rush through too fast and explain what...
If these young cops over in the House, Senator.
The Senator, is usually a little bit more deliberate.
Mr. Chair, it's quite a personal privilege.
I represent a traitor and I have been the experience of very speedy hearing this morning.
I would also like to point out that we... Public should schedule these hearings 36 hours in advance.
So our good colleagues, I mean, obviously every member of the House has read this bill thoroughly, is familiar with the A5, A6 amendments.
We're yipping and napping.
Yeah, and we're wasting good, valuable time. But
when you're in the House, you can afford them. And then we work.
Senator, let me, at your convenience, familiarize you with this bill when perhaps we have
more time.
This is a great bill.
I've moved my motion.
I accept your motion. Amended.
I accept your motion. It's been moved that House Bill 2391 as amended be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I'll be voting for this, and not just a courtesy vote, but I am very, very concerned about the unitary assessment fund and where we're going with it. I will probably not vote for any others. I asked for some information from legislative fiscal, and this objection case, information indicates that 93, we tried to bump it up real high, and there were some cost sensitivity problems. The domestic violence fund is not being selected. We have testimony on that. We have some real, I think, serious problems in the future. We are putting more and more work and emphasis on the DPSSC board, and their percentage slowly slides down. This, of course, tries to help prevent that from happening the way it's constructed and keep some of the others. But I've noticed in looking through the report, even though fees are increased, the percentage has continued to go down, down, and down. And so I have some real serious problems with the trend, and I think Senator Timms pointed out that the other day at one of our hearings. And I guess I'm more because I feel very strongly about the fallen officers, and the chair has moderated some of the financial implications here. I think it's okay, but I just want to share some notices for the others.
Great. Representative Patrick, quickly.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to say in response to Representative Schrader's comments, I also have been saying concerns about the unitary assessment fund, but I do think that there's a lot of money that's being left off the table by municipalities and JCs. We're looking at that. We have some proposed language that's been moving through Chair Westland and Larry Nislinger, and I have been working with some of that we're going to propose. It could be anywhere, I would guess, up to about $12 to $13 million that may be falling off the table for local jurisdictions. I appreciate the help of all the agencies who've been involved. So I think that hopefully that'll allay some of your concerns.
Great. Then moved that House Bill 2391 be forwarded to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any other discussion? Any objections? Seeing none,
so moved.
I will carry in full and on the House. Who would grace this by carrying this in the Senate?
You really want to put it in my pocket, huh?
You'll like this bill.
Yeah, okay, I'll carry it.
Senator Hannon, this is your kind of bill. You just don't know it yet.
I just looked at the sign out here, the Shoreline Memorial Way. You just get it. He's around here every day.
Hey, we did that with a dollar. This is only a dollar.
No, it's a memorial. You don't name a memorial unless the person's deceased.
Well, these guys, unfortunately, are deceased. Okay. House Bill 2391. I will close the work session on House Bill 2391 and open the work session on 12, Senate Bill 1202 related to sexual assault.
Call the House.
What? Well, if we hurry.
If we hurry, we can do it.
I move the -83 amendment to Senate Bill 1202. Remove the discussion. Any objections? The amendments are accepted. I would move Senate Bill 1202 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any no votes? Show Representative Schrader as a no vote. We still have a majority of the House and majority of the Senate. It is passed. Okay. You guys are, hold on. We'll be back as soon as
we do 911.
Yeah. All right.
What is 911? The best one of all.
Tell them we're coming.
Tell them we're coming.
Hold on. I'm coming.
This whole house is coming. This one I get to engage in a little extortion or do. Hold on. Senate Bill, sexual assault, more period on the Senate side.
Keep it moving.
Senator Q Cub will carry it on the full, and the Senate will carry this on the House side. Great. Okay, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 1202 and open the work session on Senate Bill 911.
Chair, members of the subcommittee, you have in front of you a fiscal impact statement on Senate Bill 911 with draft amendments, the -3 amendments. As you received the original bill, it had blank percentages proposed for the general fund portion of receiving the criminal fine and assessment account money. As the bill came to you, the approach was that the general fund allocation would be reduced and the difference would be allocated to the Emergency Medical Services Enhancement Account. The -3 amendments proposed a unitary assessment increase of $3 and adjustment of the unitary assessment percentages such that the new program would receive in the 9901 biennium approximately $1.7 million. The fiscal impact statement reflects a 21-month basis for the biennium, which reduces the total from the $3 increase going to the new emergency services enhancement account of approximately $1.5 million. The -3 amendment further apportioned.
Okay. We will reset. We will reset Senate Bill 911. You keep hand in here.
I'll get it right out. I'm over the right now. That's move it right now.
Well,
just move it.
We'll be 2 minutes out there. 3 minutes. Okay.
All right. Sure. You're back.
A hearing on Senate Bill 911, and we have some distinguished witnesses that have come in great distance. I believe, I'm not calling that one because they're not pretty enough for me to write their name so it's legible. That's a joke, folks, kind of. Tom Johnson, Ray Jester, and Doctor, I guess that explains it. John, how do you say that?
J-E-W.
J-U-I?
Yeah.
This second right, I knew that. Come on up. We got a couple of very hard and fast rules here, three of them. Don't touch the microphones, don't touch the microphones, don't touch the microphones. And as a procedure that is a rule, you must identify yourself prior to take a pick, go.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Tom Johnson, an assistant administrator for the Oregon Health Commission today. I'm here to provide information regarding Senate Bill 911. This, as you know, is not part of the governor's budget, so therefore, the Division of the Oregon Health Division is that we're here for information. We've testified on this bill before. I think that the best thing for us to do at this point is to turn it over to Dr. John Drew, who is chair of the State EMS Committee, who would like to make some statements about the bill and about the provisions of the bill before you.
Dr. Jude, thank you very much for being here. Be brief, please. I appreciate you coming down. Your time is valuable, but we're about ready to get called to another call of the House, and this whole thing could go up in smoke if we don't get this out right now.
Thank you. My name is Dr. John Jude. I'm the chair of the State EMS Committee, which is actually represented by all members of the state. This bill actually highlights one or two or three things. It highlights the fact that rural EMS providers are having a lot of difficulties with training, equipment, and delivery of health care in rural areas. We've known about the problem for a long period of time. In fact, in the most recent study in trauma care delivery, every patient in the state has rural Oregon included in the outcome. So this bill actually is directed straight at that outcome and provides, as you can read, both training, education, and equipment, and evaluation of the intervention. Essentially, it is a huge component of rural care in the state of Oregon, and we actually thank the committee for considering this as well. A huge amount of lives and both in mortality as well as morbidity are at stake with this bill, and that's why we're down here.
Keep talking, Doctor. We're not ready.
The bill, actually, as you can see, is comprised of the full mission between the Office of Rural Health, the Area Health Education Consortium, as well as the Oregon Health Division. The health AHEC, as you can see, will be in charge of the training. The Office of Rural Health will be in charge of the grants that actually are going to be locally decided and submitted to the Office of Rural Health. And the Oregon Health Division will be the evaluation and coordinating agency for these grants. So we've spent a considerable amount of time and effort in multi-agency getting together to design the program for our rural colleagues. And we're very excited about this prospect.
Mr. Chair.
I really only have one question regarding the bill. I understand you're looking at adopting the Dash-3 amendment. And I'm wondering if we can get
we'll be at ease for a moment.
Okay. Are there any other questions I can answer regarding the objectives of the bill?
Mr. Chair, we'd like to follow that question.
Representative Covanti.
I'm wondering if staff can just let us know, with the Dash-3 amendment, what impact, if any, will it have on existing programs that are under the receipt of unitary assessments? Are we going to be making any reductions in what they're receiving?
Mr. Chair and Representative Pozanski, no, the increase in the unitary assessment and the corresponding percentage reallocations hold harmless. The current programs that are in statute, as well as the general funds portion that currently comes from the unitary assessment account, PFAA account, what it does is by increasing by $3 and making the shift, it helps us.
Mr. Chair, with that on the record, if the chair wants to go into work session, I think we're ready to take action.
Representative Mannix?
I'm wondering why we ever allowed any of the money in this act to be used for the general fund. I notice that the current percentage is 48.6727% of the money in the account is transferred to the general fund. This is the current one. I would like to see us start backing away from that. I realize this bill is not the vehicle for that. But every time I see it, it seems to me that emergency medical services is indirectly related to criminal justice issues. Certainly we have people who are harmed and maimed and that sort of thing by criminals and by intoxicated drivers and the like. And I support the purpose here, but at some point we ought to be pulling back the general fund section of this and then designating how it's used rather than constantly adding to the unitary assessment. And that's more of a general comment, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to object to this particular approach because I think that it's a positive one, but I am concerned about our predilection for keeping that general fund piece of the action when obviously we have other things we need to dedicate the money for.
Representative Van.
Mr. Chair, I guess with due respect to my colleagues from Salem, I guess one thing the general fund money can be used for other areas of correction and crime prevention if necessary, specifically with the prison bill that we had with Measure 11, $1 billion for construction. I would assume some of that money may be going towards that and also in some of the costs that are being incurred.
Excuse me, Representative
Van. I guess I was thinking that the part of the money is in the general fund, but there are also other issues and other things that are being funded out of the general fund that deal with corrections, crime prevention, as well as crime. And I just made the point that with Measure 11, when it passed, there was no funding mechanism, so we had $1 billion that was pulled out of the general fund. And so this actually, I would assume part of that money can be attributed to the assessments that are being paid by criminals. It seems appropriate to have that occur.
I'm not going to respond to that. That's really talking about the market.
Well,
we're talking about unitary assessment and how it's allocated. And anyway, enough said.
Yeah. I share Representative Manning's concern that we have revenue is generated by specific acts and activities, everything from the minor, although it can be very deadly and devastating, minor traffic incidents and or stops to the most heinous of crimes. Those are crime and law enforcement related, and what those have become is 46% or so of this money goes to general fund.
And I guess my point, Mr. Chair, is that I believe some of that money that is going to the general fund is actually still being attributed and used for other crime and prevention as well as corrections issues that need to be funded. Do you have a demand on the general fund to pay for programs that are not being funded on their own? It seems appropriate that criminals should in fact be able to help offset the cost of corrections. And this is one means, I believe, that you can say that some of that money is going back for that purpose.
Well, I'm going to tap you back in the middle. I think you're both right. There. Can we just hold on? Do you want us to keep talking over here?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's important down the road that we do go in and look at the unitary tax and how that money's being used, because when I look through it, I happen to believe that 911 is exactly where the money should go in the process. I'm not turning away from this, but totally when I look at it, I think we really need to, the new people need to, I won't be around to study that, but I think that 911 is, it's how we save lives in the state of Oregon with the trauma centers and the emergency medicals, which I've been involved in, and I think the money will be well spent. We have it with the Office of Rural Health, who's here, Karen Whitaker, and we also have the AHEC. And I want to propose that we have an amendment that would be taken out of those two, allow the health department's share of it. And they tell me, some individuals, that they seem more sellable if that's the case on the House side, which I don't think it probably is, but I will concede to do that, to add that, which is it's all right, but that they have proposed, which it will not affect the health department, which has to do with the database and determining how we change the trauma situation in rural parts of the state, which I think is key to 911. So with that, are we in work session?
We are not. I want to thank our distinguished panelists. Thank you for your brief comments. We will close public hearing, and we will open the work session on Senate Bill 911 relating to health care.
I had to move amendment Senate Bill 9113.
Mr. Chair, so much.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator Kim, I have just distributed the Senate Bill 911-1 amendments. I probably missed some of the conversation here. Are you offering -1 amendments?
Okay, that'd be -1. Okay, 9111.
That adds the poison control.
Okay, that was Representative Patrick.
I'm sorry, Representative Patrick. Amendment.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill. Are we gonna do the ones first?
And I'll do the ones first.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest working with the -1, and then if that is accepted, then you would need to further amend the -3s if you wanted to adopt the -3s, and then they would be collectively put together and give you the full result.
Mr. Chair, I would move the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 911, adding in on line 2, there is a blank percentage on the amount that we have. We will be putting in 5% of the money generated by the entire 911. Of the total account, 5% of the money in the account will be put back. That will.
I want a clarification. I want to be very clear on this. 5% of the money generated by Senate Bill 911.
Correct.
To the Emergency Medical Services Enhancement Account, because it goes on line, after line 29 on page 2 of the bill, which is the section that creates the new account that gets the additional.
Mr. Chair. Question to Representative Kathy. The 5% is based on what? How do you arrive at that calculation?
Based upon, we were looking at the total number of senators voted on the LFO analysis that was given in regards to the Office of Rural Health, as well as the Area Healthcare Education Center program. Each of those programs were to receive 37.5%. We did not want to reduce those either area substantially, but we also felt that the Poison Control Center serves all of Oregon and is of substantial impact in other parts of the state where hospitals and other things are not readily accessible. We reduced each of those programs by 2.5% to come up with the 5%. This will not fully fund the Poison Center. They I believe they're seeking almost $400,000, but we are moving an effort to try and get them some more statewide funds.
And the impact of the reduction on the other programs is what?
The other programs are, I believe, are relatively new funding. So.
Mr. Chair, Brian has a problem. I want to make sure that this comes out with Mr. Peter Clark. In regards to this, he's the president of Oregon Health Sciences University. Rob has made a request, others have made a request on this committee to take the money out of the AAS, which is under control of the Oregon Health Sciences University, and take the money out of the Office of Rural Health. And I want it taken out of those two and not out of the emergency medical problem, because I'm concerned of the database and the trauma area, which is a big part of this bill, to find out what we're lacking in the state of Oregon as far as saving lives, creating those kinds of facts. So I think that is key in the process. And I wouldn't allow this amendment, which maybe I wouldn't get the bill, but I wouldn't allow it if it affects that part of it. I want it to affect the part that directly affects Oregon Health Sciences University, who has the poison center.
Mr. Chairman. My
read on that, and we'll take care of it when we get to the -3 amendments, is that we're talking about changing we were going to be allocating on page 2, line 23, 37.5%. We're really going to realistically pull that down to 35. And then on page 2, line 28, it was going to be 37.5%. We're going to pull that down to 35. Those two reductions give us 5% that's available for this account. And when we get to the -3s, then we'll modify the -3s to fit that. I support the -1 amendment, Mr. Chairman, and I encourage your prompt votes since I've been called down to the
Mr. Chairman, can I ask one quick question?
Of course.
The money that the representative is proposing translates into what, how many dollars?
Mr. Chair, I was just going to do that calculation, and I'm not aware of calculating ahead, but with 10% of 1.7 million. It's 170,000.
About 85.
About 85,000 for the poison.
Do we have a motion?
I think there's a good motion. Good 5%.
Any further discussion?
I move on that.
The amendment, 91, or Senate Bill 91-1 amendment, accepted.
I move the -3 amendment with two corrections. Page 2 of the -3, line 29, change to 37.5 to 35.0. And page 3 of the -3, line 2, we change from 37.5 to 35.0. So as corrected, I move the -3.
Any representative names? Any discussion? Does anyone know what we're doing? Pretty simple. The added poison control in 5% of the two categories B and C. Reduce them by 2.5. Put in a poison control for 5%. It comes out of Oregon Health University, Oregon Health Sciences University potions anyway. They're taking their own dollars and put it in another place where it amounts to. Any further discussion? I think that's a good amendment. Any objection?
I'll probably be a no vote, but for some reason, I'm glad it's going to pass. I think there's some very good things here. I just want to draw attention to the fact that we need to look at this, as Senator Jim said.
Let the record show that the entire world is in favor of this bill, for the exception of what the
chairman glad that it's declaring potential conflict. I'm getting crowds of pancakes in the city. Well, they all pay for those costs.
Thank you very much, Senator Ian. Thank you very much. He supports the health plan. He supports unitary assistance. This is a dedicated public servant right here. Yeah. Hold on. We have a very important thing to do. The, as amended, Senate Bill 911 is declared accepted. I need a motion to get to full committee.
So moved.
We have a motion to get to the full committee with a due path recommendation.
With the adoption of the telephone prepared budget note.
With the adoption of the telephone prepared budget note. Any discussion? Any objections? So moved. Senate Bill 911 has amended to move the full committee with due path recommendation. Senator Kim, could you carry on the, or to the full committee and on the Senate floor, and Representative Patrick, could you carry on the House floor? We are adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.